This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. What do beer and neighborhood development have in common? We'll have the answer to that later in the show. But first, Cincinnati's downtown and surrounding neighborhoods are home to a variety of architectural building styles, from the Art Deco Modern Carew Tower and Modernist Terrace Plaza Hotel to the Gothic Music Hall or Romanesque City Hall. Joining us to explore Cincinnati's architecture and how it's evolved over the years are John Senhauser, founder of John Senhauser Architects, and Jay Chatterjee, Dean Emeritus and Professor Emeritus of Architecture and Planning at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning. And Jay and John, thank you for joining us this afternoon. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let us know what some of your favorite examples of architecture in Cincinnati happen to be. John, we always talk about the variety of different styles there are in Cincinnati. Is that a correct perception? How many styles are there in the city? It seems like a lot of different types.
Well, that's a true perception. There are quite a few and numerous variations on each of those particular styles. So you may see several different variations of Art Deco, for example, or several variations of Italianate. So there are quite a few. Some of them are more simple, even sort of carpenter detailed, like a simple Mount Adams row house might have been derived from Italianate, but it is a rather simple example of that particular style.
Jay, is it common for cities to have all these different styles, or is Cincinnati somewhat unique in that respect?
I wouldn't say unique. Most cities have that. But Cincinnati is very rich, in my opinion, on that kind of thing. Cities are always more interesting when buildings are built on their time. In other words, when it's an Art Deco period, it's built there. And it's always bad when those things are faked and put in another time altogether. From that point of view, I find Cincinnati is fascinating, all those styles that you talked about, and they are all built in their time.
What are some of your favorite structures in Cincinnati?
Well, that's easy. Certainly, what's called Museum Center now, which used to be the terminal before, is by far the most interesting building. But there are lots. I like Carew Tower. It's a great building. All these things that recently the city and the university has built, certainly very, very representative of the second half of the past century. There's just too many to name.
John, what are some of your favorite buildings in Cincinnati?
Well, certainly, I think City Hall is a rather magnificent building.
That's Gothic style, is that correct?
That is Richardson Romanesque.
Oh, Romanesque, thank you.
The Music Hall, certainly. The 1953 Cincinnati Public Library, I consider to be probably one of the finest buildings built in this city in the 20th century, the original public library. It's been since, of course, expanded considerably. Carew Tower, you mentioned. Paul Brown Stadium is a pretty interesting structure of its type, and certainly distinctive among NFL stadiums in the country.
How would you categorize Paul Brown Stadium?
Well, it's a contemporary structure, modernist to a degree in its leanings. It for that type of structure, I think it is a rather singular entity, and you know, as it sits on its location on the riverfront, it presents a rather significant front door to the city as you come through the cut in the hill from, you know, from northern Kentucky.
Now, I think Jay and I agree on this, that the term rich is very appropriate when you're describing the variety of architectural styles in Cincinnati. Do you think that's a good word, rich?
Absolutely. I think it is. We have such a rich architectural heritage, and heritage, I think, is the right word. I mean, much of what these buildings represent are an aspiration of a group of individuals, you know, who formed a community and then aspired to build buildings that were aspirational and inspirational to them. So we have some very fine churches, you know, on a smaller scale. We have some excellent housing on a smaller scale. We have a collection of quite a few European styles that were brought to this country in, you know, primarily by individuals of German heritage, over the Rhine being primarily the biggest single area. And I think they all began to work together in sort of an interesting tapestry. You know, when the thing about architecture is that it doesn't necessarily intend to always record a particular time or a particular place, but because it normally exists long after other things have sort of come and gone, it becomes a catalog of a particular time period, much the same as music or literature might, but it is, because of its physical form, just a more enduring expression. So we can talk about things like historic districts because they're important and the buildings are important, but part of that comes about simply because the buildings have survived, you know, and there may have been art, or there may have been music, or there may have been literature that perhaps didn't survive.
Jay, are there any drawbacks to having all the variety that Cincinnati has, or is this just a good thing, period?
It's a good thing, period. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's one of the reasons I like Cincinnati. I mean, I came from outside the country, came and settled here, and it's fascinating. One thing I'd like to add, what John said, you know, the buildings he was referring to, they're all outstanding building. But the one criteria I really love about them is that all the owners or people who invested in them took enormous risks. So when I hear these days, oh, that's going to cost a lot of money, there was nothing compared to people who invested in on those buildings at that time, let's say right after the crash. So building of that nature, you have to have the enduring quality, what John referred to, you have to take risks.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation. And let's talk with Michael at Findlay Market. Hi, Michael.
Hello, thank you. I'm in the lucky position of meeting a lot of visitors to the city. And one of the things I like to point out, aside from the wonderful intersections like Plum Street, where you have City Hall and two churches that are magnificent and very different from each other, three buildings right there, but and the Taft at the other end of the city. But aside from that, I always say that if you want to see a collection of about every architectural detail you can imagine, go to Spring Grove Cemetery. Spring Grove, not just with the mausoleums, but any simple plinth that has a monument on top of it, or for that matter, even decorations on headstones, represent almost every molding from every period, decoration style, revival periods. I mean, it's truly amazing. And they oftentimes were carved over the period of history that Spring Grove represents. So I always tell people, if you want to see a fascinating space and look at architectural detail in a small area, 700 acres plus, it's a really nice place to go.
Thank you, Michael. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
One thing I'll add, Mike, is it Michael?
Yes,
It's you really obviously understand Cincinnati's architecture. Your examples are just great. For example, the Jewish temple in the group of buildings that you talked about in Plum Street is probably one of the finest example of interior space. I'm not original on that. A lot of historians have referred to that.
You know, what are some of the basic elements that make up good architectural design, John? I mean, it's pretty subjective, isn't it?
Well, no. It actually, if you are exposed over a period of time, you'd be surprised how many of the principles become rather objective. Much of it lies in the sort of fundamentals that exist in any well-done structure, such as balance, scale, rhythm, proportion. Those elements that really, irrespective of style, still begin to define what ultimately makes a good building. And sometimes good buildings are about perhaps reinterpreting those things that are to us that are familiar. For example, not in Cincinnati, but John Portman in Atlanta years back took the hotel and created the Hyatt Regency. Now, that was a whole different idea about a hotel, and yet it simply was a hotel. We were all familiar with it, but he reinterpreted the way in which we experience a hotel, and therefore it became an iconic structure simply because of the way it reinterpreted something that was very familiar to all of us, a hotel.
But I always go back to the idea that, to me, and I'm just a layman when it comes to architecture, it seems a lot like art to me, because, you know, different people can look at different things. One person might absolutely love it, another person might despise it. And my son and I always have debates over the Great American Building, because I like it. It's grown on me over the years. He looks at it and he says, nope, don't like it at all. So is that where subjectivity comes into play?
Well, I think there certainly are subjective aspects to any endeavor, but if we want to examine it on the basis of what creates the sort of excellence that might exist in a particular building, what are the elements that might bring that about? I mean, if we really want to talk about things that are of particular importance, I would suggest that examining, as the caller said earlier, when you begin to examine the details that exist in at Spring Grove Cemetery, as he used the example, when you begin to look at those kinds of details, they begin to elicit certain sensory responses that would begin to tie your memory and your body to a place. So when we go to Spring Grove Cemetery and we repeat the act of going there over a number of times, we become very familiar with Spring Grove Cemetery as a place. So it is the kinds of detailing that are there and the objects that are there and the space that is there and, frankly, the landscape that is there all begin to separate Spring Grove Cemetery from every place else in the city, and in fact, probably any place else in the country, because of its unique architectural and landscape character.
After the break, we will continue our conversation about architecture in the Queen City. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. What's your favorite architecture in Cincinnati? Give us a call at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. My guests this afternoon are John Senhauser, founder of John Senhauser Architects, and Jay Chatterjee, Dean Emeritus and Professor Emeritus of Architecture and Planning, at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Art, Architecture, and Planning. And let's talk with Eric at UC. Good afternoon, Eric. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. I've been at UC since the mid-70s, and I mourn the passing of Wilson Auditorium. But I wondered what the guests would, how they would critique the current ensemble at UC. It's received a lot of accolades, I've heard, but what's their opinion? Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. We appreciate the question.
John's pointing at me. I've been involved with UC's plan related to that. I'll tell you how we approach that thing. We approach in sort of mid-80s, and it had all kinds of hodgepodge of architecture in the campus, and it was pretty bad shape as a campus itself. Automobile crisscrossed through the thing to the campus. So we decided, instead of pursuing a style such as Miami's kind of pseudo-Georgian architecture or Duke's pseudo-Gothic architecture, which we don't like anyway, because it's sort of falsifying the state of architecture and technology and materials of our time, we decided to do a variety of major, major architectural talents and their work, and focused on a group of buildings which represented the finest of our time, and then weave that through of urban design of the campus. So I think on that idea, we've been very successful. As a dean, I have seen busload of architecture students and even docents of Smithsonian come and look at the campus. So even last week, 50 students from IIT came down for a day spending learning about architecture. It's from their architecture department. So yes, I'm very fond of it. I feel we have been successful in achieving what we wanted to do.
Now, Jay, did you want to, John, you want to add on to that?
I think what is important about the transformation that took place there is not only did we end up with some, in my mind, some very provocative buildings and a collection that certainly is, to a degree, provocative, you know. We love to talk about it. But we also ended up not with just buildings, but we ended up with a space between the buildings. And those spaces were as carefully designed as the buildings were designed. So on the one hand, we're creating a structure, a building. On the other hand, we're creating a context in which those buildings sit. So when you look at Main Street or the Rec Center or the Stanger Building, if you begin to look at those structures in and of themselves, they are interesting, but the space between those structures also becomes very interesting. It is the public part of what architects and planners do. And if we look at a street in the city like 4th Street, it becomes a particularly important street, not because of the buildings that are at the west end of 4th Street, but because of the space that is between the buildings that are there that really began to define the sort of publicness of that particular street and create a place that is unlike any other place in the city. We don't confuse 4th Street with 6th Street or 5th Street. They all have different characters.
Now,
trying to say by weaving the buildings in an urban design plan, that John is quite right. We gave almost as much emphasis spaces between the building than the buildings themselves, which was never the case in UC's history before. There's a building and pavement and parking spots, etc. So We love that, the spaces that we have been able to create. For the area that John was talking about, called Bearcat Plaza, we used to have a bridge near Tangement where students used to gather. So we had to replace that, and we had created this Bearcat Plaza of the area John was talking about between Charlie Guathmey's building in TUC, Steger Building, and Tom Main's building of the Rec Center.
Both of you serve on the city's Urban Design Review Board. And John, can you tell us what the role of that board is?
The board reviews projects that utilize public funding as a portion of their financing. And so if in this case, the Urban Design Review Board reviews projects when the city has a civic investment or a public investment in the particular project. And so the role of the board is to act in an advisory capacity to the city manager in order to review and make recommendations to the manager as to whether or not we feel that this is a positive addition to our city and that indeed the taxpayer investment here is worthwhile.
Are its decisions, are the reviews binding that you do?
No, okay. Reviews are not binding. It's a, as John said, it's an advisory capacity. And if city manager approves it, he takes into the almost always did in the past, and still does most of the time. And then council decides it. But one thing I'd like to say from taking from John's comment, that yes, it's for buildings where there's been public investment, they come. But it speaks well for the board, because many occasions people who were not receiving any public funding still came to the board to seek our opinion. So I think that's as good as it gets.
Jay, we got an email from Kevin. He was asking a question about the Contemporary Arts Center. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how they're trying to remodel the lobby. Mm. To give it a bit more warmth and more of a welcoming feeling. Mm. And he says he believes that you were on the selection committee for this design, for that design. And he was wondering about the opinions on the building now 10 years out, and if remodeling the architect's vision as dramatically as they are is considered to be an affront among architects.
Not always, but by the way, I was on the original selection committee of bringing Zaha Hadid to city. I had nothing to do with the lobby renewal. I've just recently seen some sketches of it, and I do have some problem. And that is, they have created a receptionist desk and areas to file things, etc., right in front of the entrance. And it is blocking some view of what Zaha's idea of urban carpet, that's supposed to be totally visible, as well as independently hanging staircase that goes up. I think it's not appropriate.
John, do you have a position on that?
I have not seen the proposal for the renovation, but I must say that I consider that building to be, one of the finest buildings we've constructed in the city here in a long, long time, and I actually consider it to be among the best work that Zaha, as an individual, Zaha produced.
As a matter of fact, some interesting notes about that. That was the first major building in U.S. By a female architect. And it speaks well for the building. Once she did that building, her career has really flourished, and she has built all over the world. And she was recipient of Pritzker Prize, which is like architecture's Nobel Prize. Incidentally, another person is Tom Main, who after Rec Center received Pritzker Prize. So two people who are built in Cincinnati went on to get that prize.
So, Jay, what do you think? What do you think of the future of architecture in Cincinnati?
Oh, I love it. I think there's a lot of possibilities people have to understand and start taking a little bit of a risk. In spite of my friend is right here, I would say John Senhauser, his work, and gives me a lot of hope. And yes, I'm very happy about the prospects of Cincinnati.
Very optimistic. What about you, John?
Well, I too am quite optimistic. I mean, Jay is right. Serious architecture is a risk. And those who do it well know how to manage that risk, and they probably manage it through, I would think, serious play. That is why it is as interesting as it is. And I think that my hope is that we will continue to see projects where individuals are taking some serious risk in the interest of inspiring other people in the community.
If I could add something to John's, another person I would mention is Carl Strauss, who really allowed all of us to focus and change the times and bring in the new era of contemporary architecture.
John and Jay, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. John Senhauser is founder of John Senhauser Architects, and Jay Chatterjee, Dean Emeritus and Professor Emeritus of Architecture and Planning at the University of Cincinnati College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning.